My name's Shelby, and I'm an alcoholic. Thank you, Mark, for asking me to speak tonight. And I'm not from Lancaster originally. No, I just like to say that. But I am now a native here because I've been here 10 years. My sobriety date is August 22nd of 2015, and for that, I'm forever grateful. I have a home group and a sponsor, and she knows she's my sponsor. And those are three crucial things for me to stay here in Alcoholics Anonymous. I had no idea that was crucial when I first got here because I had no idea what you guys were about. I had no idea what the steps were. I just thought if I did the program, because that was my ex-husband's condition, if I did it for 6 months, I would get some alimony and we'd be good. Fast forward, I got something way more than that. So what it was like was it was crappy out there. You know, I was an alcoholic from my first drink. I was a blackout drunk. And I love the effects produced by alcohol, especially Jack Daniel's Punch. It was so good. I don't even think they make that anymore. But it was so good. It was my first drunk, first party with my brother. I'll never forget it because I always felt different than growing up. Always. I was a redhead. I had no soul. I was my brother's little sister. You know, the list would go on, right? But I never felt like I was enough. I never felt the love that was being given to me growing up. I never felt like I was good enough. My dad wasn't around because he was one of us. And I just was like, I'm different, you know? And I felt it. My brother didn't act the way I acted. And I'm like, huh. So I really like the effects produced by alcohol. And all those things that I mentioned doesn't make me an alcoholic. So what happened was, is I got that first drunk. I wasn't a daily drunk after that because I was like 12, 13. So, you know, you can't really get your hands on alcohol that much. But my brother would have weekend parties when my mom was working. And I got to be the cool little sister. And everybody thought I was older because I looked older. And they're like, oh, you must be Steve's older sister. And I'm like, oh, my God, I have arrived. Like, this is great. My brother and I were just joking about that the other day. And I'm like, I thrived off of that, like, for once. Like, you look like you're my little brother. This is so stellar. But it was an experience, right? And so I liked the camaraderie that came with drinking. I liked the feeling that alcohol gave me because I finally found my people. And I started drinking at work when I was working on Camp Pendleton because that was a cool thing to do. I wanted to fit in. My cousin would call me on the payphone in the office, and he'd be like, hey, Shel, we're out in the parking lot, let's go. And I'm like, okay. And so I would go out there, they'd give me some chocolate so my mom wouldn't smell it on my breath. And, you know, that was like the start of my sneakiness of my alcoholism. But I always was told growing up from my mom, we have alcoholism on both sides, so we need to be really cautious about it. And looking back at it now, I find what she told me so interesting because I'm a real alcoholic. She was like, if you're wanting to drink and you're by yourself, you probably shouldn't. That's a red flag for alcoholism, right? But if it's social, it'll be okay. You're probably safe, you know? I'm not safe anywhere, whether I'm drinking by myself in my car, drinking at a hotel by myself, at a party with you guys, no matter what, I'm going to drink. And I'm going to drink to oblivion. And but I justified that for a good 15 years. I'm not an alcoholic because we're doing it socially, or I'm doing a little outside issues on top of it. We're good. So my alcoholism didn't take off until I was about 20 when my cousin died. He died of an overdose because a lot of us die of this illness and other illnesses. And so I didn't know how to live life sober. I didn't know how to feel feelings sober because it was really uncomfortable. And what happened was I was just drinking Captain Morgan left and right. And I knew that would fix me because I wasn't feeling. I was feeling really numb. And this went on for a good 8.5 years until I came to you guys. I met who I thought was my Prince Charming. It was just a really good life lesson. That's what he was. You know, I thought we were going to have that white picket fence because he was a Marine, and I'm going to quit drinking for him and my other things that I'm doing. We're going to have the white picket fence, the dog, the kids, and all the things. Come to find out, I recommend you like your significant other. I did not like him. I loved him, but I did not like him, you know, and there's a huge difference. And I didn't know that until I got here, too. And so I was with that man for 10 years and hiding, you know, my alcoholism, telling him that you know, I think you need to slow down on your drinking, you know, but while I'm over here getting blackout drunk no matter what. And so it was a mess. We did some geographics. We did all the things. I blew up on my mom. My grandpa's telling me I need to go to therapy. And I'm just pointing the finger left and right. Like, well, if you lived the life I live, if you didn't have your dad present, if you, you know, went through all these things that I went through and whatnot, you'd be doing the same thing too. And I could never take accountability for any of my actions, ever. And so what had happened to get me here to Alcoholics Anonymous was to drink is to die for me. And I was, you know, I had my road dog, Poquito. He was a little dog that helped save my life. It was just me and him. We were living in hotel rooms and in cars and living the life that we tend to live. You know, everybody had cut me off in my family. And I thought I could get sober for my brother's kid. You know, I was going to be that stellar auntie and I will get sober for her. And frothy emotional appeal seldom suffices. You know, that Christmas before I got sober, that brother of mine was crying, asking for his little sister back. Because I was so lost in my alcoholism, and I had no idea. And I said, I'm right here. I'm right here. And he was just looking through me, you know. And it took some time for me to get to you guys. I went to a meeting with my best friend just to celebrate his mom's 20th. And I didn't know what I was going to be getting myself into a couple months later. I called that woman for help one day. And I said, you know, Miss Amy, I need help. I have a problem, and I can't do it here because I knew everybody in my area, and nobody was sober except for her. And I called that husband of mine who was in Texas because I told him he needed to leave the state because I was not a good person, and he was willing to get me into treatment. And he found a treatment center in Palmdale, California. And I was like, hey, Palmdale, Afro Man, I can still smoke pot. Like, we could do this, you know? I had no idea what rehab was. I saw the, like, rehab, you know, commercials when I was up really late, but I didn't know what rehab was, you know? I was like, okay, cool. And it was this big house, you know, in Palmdale, and it was beautiful, and they handed me our book, you know? And they wanted me to follow some rules and, like, do some, you know, life history things and tell me about yourself. And I'm like, no, I don't like to follow rules. So instead, out of boredom, I opened up the big book in my first couple nights. And I was like, let me see what this is about because I had no idea. And I started reading Doctor's Opinion on my own. And I could relate. I could relate to what was in that book. And I was like, oh, crap. This is a really old book and I can relate to this. I think I might have a problem, you know. And that agreement of 6 months to doing this program, I didn't know it was a lifetime thing. And I met my sponsor on an H&I panel. She came in and did a panel at that treatment center. And I didn't know she was going to be my sponsor because it was either going to be her or Morgan. And I'm really grateful I have my sponsor who I have now because I have Morgan as, you know, one of my best friends. But so we went through those steps honestly and thoroughly. And I had no idea what it was. And I'm really glad I was blind because I would have had some reservations if I knew what I was doing because I'm that kind of alcoholic, you know. It centers in my thinking, and when I'm going wild, it's not cute. You can ask my husband. But so what happened, we did those steps, and I did that fourth step, and she sat with me for 13 hours for a fifth step. Nobody has ever sat with me for 13 hours unless I had something to give them. You know what I mean? I'm just saying. And she didn't want anything from me. And she would just say, yeah, me too. I've been through something similar. Or yeah. Or she would taught me. You know what I mean? And I'm like, whoa. Okay, I thought I was bad. You know what I mean? And she sat with me. And we worked every single step, honestly and thoroughly. And once I got to ninth step and I started making those amends, I had no idea what was in store. I had that experience the third step of giving my life over to God, but when I got to nine and I finally made that amends to my father that had left me and abandoned me because he was one of us and he couldn't, you know, I found my connection with God so much deeper. What my life is like today is that I'm free, you know. It's not perfect, it's not rainbows and butterflies, but I'm free. I've been able to make amends. I've been able to clear a lot of the wreckage of my past. I don't do it perfectly. I've fallen short so many freaking times in the 10 years I've been here, but I don't give up. You know what I mean? I have a sponsor that helps me stay accountable. I have girlfriends and my brothers here that help me stay accountable, you know, and have walked me through some really crazy things here where all my fears, if this were to happen, I would get loaded. And I didn't. And so the past year, You know, we've had some family things going on, and I've had my husband next to me this whole time. He hasn't left my side. Thank God he works program too, because it would be a really bad mix if we didn't. But no, he hasn't left my side when things get crazy, and I've been able to make amends to that brother that cut me off over 11 years ago. I've been able to repair the relationship that I never thought would, and that's all because of Alcoholics Anonymous and you guys. And if you're new here, I welcome you. This life is freaking amazing, man. Good, bad, or indifferent, it's still freaking better than being out there. So give yourself a chance. Thank you for letting me share.